Amen. You may be seated. Welcome to Replicate Church. It's so good to see each and every one of you this morning. This week, we will be resuming our study of the book of Genesis. And I would like to direct your attention to the bulletin. There's a connect card there. And with the connect card, while you're seated, or if you need any pens, there's ink pens up at the connect table. But if you've been coming here every week or you're new, feel free to fill out the connect card. If you have prayer requests, or if you just want us to connect with you, to invite you into some of the ministries we have going on, or the next Discover Replicate, where you'll learn about the church's vision and the different things that we have going on, and to become a long-term member of the church. But also, if you're interested in small groups that meet throughout the week, we can get you connected with a small group. Serving is also a need. So if you're interested in serving and you're called to do that and you just don't know where you might be needed, you can also use the Connect card for that. But as always, you can see Pastor Jared directly. He would be glad to speak with you about any of those things. And most importantly, if you've made the decision to be baptized, you can see Pastor about that, or you can fill out that Connect card and drop it into the giving box on your left. With giving, also, we just, heartfelt thank you and gratitude to all of you for your tithes and offerings that enable us to do Christ's work here in East Milton, where we just have a passion for this community and where we want to reach everyone and share the gospel message. I do want to give a thanks to the women's ministry, the Soul Sisters, for the pizza donation for the youth on Wednesday. I'm sure they enjoyed that a lot. And we also look forward to the women's event coming up next Saturday, the tea party, and then the night of prayer next Sunday. We hope to see you there. And I just want to say thank you again for joining us. We're so honored to have you with us today. At this time, I'd like to welcome Pastor Jared up. He's going to lead us in a moment of scripture-guided prayer. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jared. Well, good morning and welcome. And I want to second something that announcement Jared said there. So Wednesday night, we couldn't use this building because this, for those of you who may not know, we rent this building from the county. It does not belong to us. So any complaints you have, just send them right to the county and they'll get right on that. But we couldn't use this building. So out here, there's a playground on the other side of this gym down here. So you had youth kind of meeting at the playground. You had the men's small group meeting at another pavilion. And you had our eldership group going through their training in another. So there was all kind of like worship and God's word just kind of hanging out in the grass out there. It was pretty cool to see. So thank you guys for being flexible with that. But yes, okay, wow, I'm not going to move anymore. I'm going to be still. So if you're a guest with us, one of the things we take very seriously here is prayer. And part of our worship every Sunday is prayer. And so this morning, we're going to look at Psalm 103, verses 6 through 10. Is that right? Yeah, 6 through 10? 9 through 12, sorry, 9 through 12. That's why it's on the screen. Psalm 103, verses 9 through 12. Actually, I don't think that's right either. It's just one of those mornings. Sorry, 10 through 12. Now we have it right. He says, "He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." And so thinking about that psalm this morning, we got a few prompts to kind of stir your heart in prayer as you spend the next few moments seeking your Heavenly Father in prayer this morning. It says, "Lord, you are merciful, you are forgiving, and you are compassionate." Just declaring that about God this morning. "Lord, I praise you for not treating me as my sin deserved when I did blank. Lord, please show your compassion to blank this week as they deal with this. And finally, assure me of your steadfast love this week, Lord, when I experience this." And so take the next 60 seconds. You spend some time with your Heavenly Father in prayer, and then I'll kind of close this out and we'll continue in worship this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, Lord, just acknowledging that you are a merciful God, you're a compassionate God. Your steadfast love is without fail, Lord. Lord, that you are the God of the impossible, Lord, that and you aren't distracted by anything. And so, Lord, we come before you today, Lord, and we just ask that you would lead us in this time of worship. You would lead us in this time of just diving into your word this morning. God, that your Holy Spirit would just fill this room. God, that we'd experience you in a real way this morning, Lord. Those of us that come in here this morning with hardened hearts, man, we got some stuff going on, man. We don't even really want to be here this morning. Lord, that you just meet us where we're at. God, we wouldn't just come here listening to another sermon, just singing some more songs. We would come in here this morning expecting to meet with you, giving you all that we have in worship, allowing your word to transform us this morning. And so, God, we just surrender this time to you today, and we just pray these things in your son Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen. I'm going to ask you if you're able to go ahead and stand with me this morning for the reading of God's word. Bill's going to come and read our text for this morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Can you all hear me? All right, this is Genesis 12, 1 through 9 out of the English Standard Version. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions they had gathered, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country to the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on his west and Ai on his east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev.
Thank you, Bill. You guys, if you would just remain standing as we continue to worship this morning. All right, all right. Well, good morning. We're so glad you're here today. In case you didn't know, it was Match Your Spouse Day. I see Chris and April got the memo that me and Tammy sent out this morning, so just make sure you're all listening this morning. So we're so glad you're here this morning. I was thinking over here that sometimes the Lord allows us to have sound issues just to keep us humble, right, so we don't get too big for our britches, but glad. I think that was more user error than it was sound issues this morning, so thank you, Tracy, for that. So, and you guys will be very grateful, yeah. Tracy loves when he gets put in the spotlight, and Tracy, that's for putting a spotlight on me this morning, buddy. Gotcha, covered, man. So a couple things before we get into God's word this morning. Next Sunday night from 5 to 6, we're going to have our next prayer night here. We do those once a month, and so we gather, we pray for one another, we pray for our city, we pray for God to just move amongst his people and amongst his city. And so like last month, it was awesome, and so we're going to try and build off of that, and we just pray that if you're able, you would come and worship with us and pray with us next Sunday night. I want to thank Mike and Sam Grosjean. They went out and served at East Milton Elementary's STEAM Night this week. They did a great job there. And then so we kind of got a little bit of a lull, and then we hit May, and it's full speed. You got Mother's Day coming up. Don't forget that. All right? You can't say I didn't warn you. You can't say Mother's Day sneaks up on you. I just told you. It's coming. Get ready. All right? We're going to have a few opportunities to serve in May. We're going to have an opportunity to serve at East Milton Elementary School. Our mission team leaves in June, and so we got a busy couple months headed up, but we're glad you're here this morning. So we are in Genesis chapter 12 this morning, verses 1 through 9, as we continue our series in that. And so if you're a guest with us, we took about a month off leading up to Easter, so we're back in this morning. We just finished up talking about Noah and the Tower of Babel, and so we're moving into this kind of new section in Genesis. So you picked a great day to be here this morning. So just show of hands, how many of you have ever owned a Light Bright or played with one in your lifetime? All right, how many under the age of 20 even know what that is? Raise your hand. Okay, all right, well, there's a picture in case you don't know what that is, all right? Now, if you've never used a Light Bright, you get this nice little black piece of paper, and you put it over the light bright, and it has like the little color by number things, right? And you take the little peg and you put it in, and it you know, you kind of know what the picture is ahead of time, but you don't really know what it is until you get all the pegs put in and it lights up. And every peg you put in, you're doing so with like this hope of, I want to see what this is. And if you've ever done it, especially as an adult, you're like, man, could these pegs be just a little bit bigger? Like if you got really big fingers like I have, you know, and you're like, man, this is really testing my dexterity. But the hope is you want to see this picture at the end. And so our text this morning is kind of like filling in the light bright. We see God essentially, I want you to imagine for a moment, just God taking that light bright piece of paper. He's got something drawn out on it. He's got his rescue plan, his redemptive plan for all humanity. He set it on the light bright. You can kind of see where he's headed. And as you read scripture from Genesis to Revelation, God is slowly putting in, or slow to us, putting in the little pegs, revealing the fullness of his plan. And so we see a glimpse of that. We see kind of some of that, for the first time in scripture, really, we see that little picture laid out on the light bright this morning as God puts a few pegs in that light bright this morning. And we see the fullness of that picture take shape when Christ returns. But so as we're just going through the text this morning, I just want you to keep that image of the light bright in the back of your mind, that this is God, just he's kind of laid out the plan. We get a little bit of a picture of what it's going to look like. And this morning, as we work through our text, he's putting a few of the light pegs in the light bright, and that plan becomes a little more illuminated. Oh, this is what God is doing. This is how he's doing it. This is how he's moving. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at how God's redemptive plan begins to take shape in Genesis, and how faith is an essential part of that redemptive plan. So if you're not there yet, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9 this morning. Now, if you're not familiar with the Old Testament, that's fine. But this morning we're introduced to a new character in God's redemptive plan named Abram. Abram would eventually be who he had his name changed to Abraham. We'll get to that in a few weeks, but we're introduced to Abram. We don't know much about Abram in Genesis chapter 12 other than the little snippet we have at the end of Genesis chapter 11. We know that he was the husband of Sarai. His brother Haran had passed away and he assumed responsibility for his nephew Lot. We know his father was to Terah. And he was a descendant of Shem. And if you'll remember back over a month ago, we talked about how God had chosen the line of Shem to be the people that he was going to bring forth salvation to the world through. And so Abram is a part of this lineage. Now, it's been about 10 generations since we have anything recorded in scripture of God speaking to his people. And so as we look at Abram this morning, we see that God is no longer silent, but he's speaking once again, at least in recorded scripture. Abram, we know from that snippet in Genesis chapter 11, is from Ur, which was an ancient city in Mesopotamia. And we know he was a resident there up until God led them out in Genesis chapter 11, verse 31. And this is what Moses writes in verse 31 of chapter 11. He says, Terah took Abram and his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Now, we're not given much explanation for why Abram's father said, hey, let's pack up, leave the land where we've all grown up in, and go over here to the land of Canaan. And we're not given much information of why they stopped in Haran. They didn't go the whole way. Except for a little glimpse we're given in, if you fast forward to Genesis chapter 15, where Moses implies that whether Abram's dad recognized it or not, that it was God who was stirring in the heart of Terah to move from the land that they were in to Canaan. It was God that put this desire in his heart, drawing Abram and his family to the land of Canaan as part of his redemptive plan for all of mankind. That this sudden urge to leave was God orchestrating human history to accomplish his divine will in the world. Now, again, we don't know if Abram's father recognized that. We don't know if God had spoken to him, but we do know God was the one behind the scenes, orchestrating events, filling in the pegs on the light bright in order to accomplish his divine will in the world. And so with that, go ahead and look with me at verse 1 this morning. It says, now the Lord said to Abram. Now, that's a big deal. The Lord, at some point, appears to Abram. We don't know if it was through a vision, if he appeared through an angel. We don't know, but he comes and he appears to Abram. And at this point, Abram is in Haran. His dad has passed away. And now the Lord is shaking up his life and appearing to him in Haran. He comes to Abram. He says, hey, Abram, here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your kindred, your family, those who are not your immediate family. I want you to leave your father's house, like the lineage, the genealogy, the family name. And I want you to go to a land that I will show you. He doesn't even tell Abram, hey, I want you to go from here to there. He says, I want you to just pack your stuff and I want you to go. I'm going to tell you where you're going later, to a place that I've already chosen for you. But I want you to just trust me in faith to just leave everything you've ever known and go. It's kind of a big ask, right? But even more perplexing to me is this, is why did God call Abram? Right? If you read Joshua 24, we find out that Abram wasn't even a worshiper of God. He followed the false gods and worshiped the idols of Ur in Mesopotamia. He wasn't even found righteous before the Lord. And during this time, you still have Melchizedek and Job. They're still around who God said were righteous. So why did he pick Abram? God chose Abram, not because of anything Abram had done, but because it was his will to do so. Because it was the good pleasure of God to choose Abram, to use him for what he was going to do in the world. It was God's will to save Abram from the life he was living and call him to a new life with the Father. Just as it's God's will to offer us salvation. We're not offered salvation because of anything that we have done. We're not offered salvation because we deserve it. We're offered salvation because it is the will of God to offer salvation to us because of his steadfast love for us. Out of his divine will, his divine grace, he says, I will offer you salvation. I have chosen you. I want to be with you. It has nothing to do with what you have done other than it is my perfect will that says I will choose you and offer you salvation. Same things at play with Abram. So God calls Abram to leave behind everything he knows, to follow him in faithful obedience. And in doing so, he gives him seven promises. Say seven promises. Seven promises. He says, if you'll follow me in faith, I'll promise you I'm going to do these seven things in your life. First one is this. He promises Abram land. Remember, he says, leave and go to a land that I have chosen for you, that I will show you where it is. This land would be what we would later call the promised land. It's the land that God had chosen to use as part of his rescue plan, his redemptive plan for mankind. Second promise, he says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Now, considering that Abram's wife was barren, she could not have any children, this is a big deal. Like, he's probably scratching his head. How are you going to make me into a great nation? Because that usually requires that you have some children and you're able to, like, pass that on. But he promises that he's going to make Abram into a great nation. That nation would eventually be the nation of Israel, of which Abram would be the first Hebrew patriarch. The third promise is this. He says, I will bless you. This promise of blessing is one of abundant increase and favor before the Lord. And if you read through Genesis, you see Abram had an abundance of everything. And as he went through his life, he was able to give credit to God and say, I have all this because God has given it to me. And so with that, I do want to point this out to us this morning, that faithful obedience to God always leads to God's blessing. Right? Scripture is riddled with this truth. You read the Psalms, you read the gospel, it says it repeatedly, God said, if you will obey me, I will bless you. I will bless you with providing for your needs. I will bless you by answering your prayers. And so obeying God always leads to blessing. And so we see God coming to Abram. He says, hey, if you will obey, if you will follow in faith, you're going to experience the blessing of the Lord. Fourth promise. He says, I'm going to make your name great, and I'm going to make you a blessing to those around you. He was going to make Abram's name famous amongst the nation. He was going to make his name renowned as God's chosen, his elect, the one that he's going to birth redemption from. And he was going to make him a blessing to those around him. And here's what we need to understand about that, that those who have a deep, abiding intimacy with God are always a blessing to those around them. Those who have a deep, abiding intimacy with God are always a blessing to those around them. It's the natural overflow of walking in step with Jesus is that you are a blessing to those around you. Abram's eventual obedience would produce this deep intimacy between he and God. And out of that intimacy, he would be a blessing to everybody he came in contact with. And so, before we move on to the fifth promise, I want to ask you this morning, if you're a Christian in the room, is your life a blessing to those around you? Right? Do people have to say, man, he loves Jesus. I love being around him. Man, there's just something different about him or her when I'm around him. Man, things are just better. Or they say, I can't believe they're a follower of Jesus. Do they say things like, it's easier to deal with an unbeliever than that person who claims to love Jesus, right? As a follower of Christ, if we are abiding in Jesus, the kindness of Jesus, the grace, the gentleness, the mercy, the patience of Jesus should overflow from our lives to those around us, blessing them, right? We shouldn't be the one in the DMV line complaining and giving that person a hard time. We should be the one that says, thank you, you have really made my day because it's been horrible today. Right? We shouldn't be the one in the drive-through line that, you know, does the Christian version of cussing them out because it took too long. We should be like, thank you for doing your job today, right? We should be a blessing to those around us. A solid marker of our intimacy with Jesus, of our maturation in the faith, is that we are a blessing to those around us. You want to know if you're growing in the faith? Ask somebody if you're a blessing to them. Ask somebody how they view you. Ask them if they see Jesus, if they experience Jesus through how you live your life. A solid marker of our intimacy with Jesus is that we're a blessing to those around us. The fifth promise. God promised Abram, hey, if you will follow me in faith, I will bless those who bless you. Hey, those who treat you well, man, I'm going to bless them. He follows out with the sixth promise. He says, but those who curse you, those who do you wrong, I'm going to curse you. I'm going to curse them as well. So he kind of offers this protection to Abram. He says, if you will walk with me in faith, I got you. You don't got to worry. I got you. Just trust me. I got you. If he will bless you, I'm going to bless him. If they curse you, I'm going to curse them. You don't have to worry about anything if you'll just follow me, Abram. And then finally, the seventh promise he gives him is this. It says, all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you, Abram. And so here's what we need to understand is that it's through the lineage of Abram that God would not only birth the nation of Israel, not only birth his chosen people, but it would be this people that he would bring forth Jesus, the Messiah, from, to bring salvation to all mankind. And so when people accept Christ through as Savior, they are experiencing the blessing that God promised to Abram. They're being blessed by the obedience of Abram. And so God comes to Abram. He says, hey, bro, if you will just follow me in faith, man, I promise to do these seven things. If you'll just say yes, if you'll just follow me in basically blind obedience, I'll do this for you. And it's a unique call. It's God's calling to this man, not who's already walking with him, but who's steeped in idol worship, saves him from the life he was living, and offers him more than he ever could have imagined for himself. Offers him more than he ever could have done for himself. This call on Abram's life is a testament of the goodness and grace of God. That call on Abram's life is the same one he gives to us through salvation in Jesus. God calls to the heart of man out of his goodness and grace, saying, if you will receive my son and my gospel, I will give you more than you could ever imagine. I will forgive your sins. I will give you new life. I will shower you with my grace. I will give you my power. I will call you son or daughter, and you will have the keys to my kingdom. You will inherit the kingdom of God if you will just follow me in faith. The invitation in Scripture, if you don't know the Lord this morning, is come follow me, and I will give you more than you deserve and more than you ever will need. I think we forget that sometimes, even as believers, that's really what we've been saved from. That we have been given everything in him. We have been given way more than we deserve. Like when we are tempted to take that self-righteous high road as a believer, we need to just check ourselves for a minute and say, hey, I've been given way more than I deserved. I was not worthy of my salvation either. I need to probably lay off them a little bit because they aren't worthy of it either. I was where they were. And so maybe that just stirs up a little patience, a little grace, a little mercy, a little kindness in us this morning to remind us that, hey, everything we've received from Jesus, we didn't deserve either. But in faith, he gave us way more than we deserved and way more than we could ever imagine. When God called to Abram, he told him, he said, hey, leave everything and go. Give up the joy and comfort of your country. Some of you would have a hard time if God came to you right now and said, I need you to give up the country that you're living in and go halfway across the world. That's where I want you to go. That's what he's asking Abram to do. He's asking him to leave the joy and comfort of his country. He's asking him to leave the security of his family and the identity he carried as part of his father's house. That's essentially like if God came to you and asked you to give up your last name. He said, you're no longer going to be a Tarver. You're just going to be a son of God. That's what he's asking Abram to do. He's like, you're no longer going to be the son of Tahar. You're going to be a son of God. You're going to be mine. I've chosen you. And so he asked him to give all this up. And while this seems like a lot, what we need to understand is that obedience to God is often leaving one thing for something better. Sometimes obedience is you know, hey, you have been called to love your wife well. You're not necessarily sacrificing anything to love her well, but sometimes it's, obedience is, hey, I need you to quit doing that so you can experience this in your life. And so obedience to God is often leaving one thing for something better. And God was calling Abram to something better than he had at that moment if he would just follow him in faith. Similarly, Jesus calls us to those, everyone who will listen, to leave behind our old lives for something far greater than we have currently. He says, give up hopelessness for hope, insecurity for eternal security, anxiety for peace, go from death to life if you will just follow me. It's a lot easier to follow Jesus when we have that mindset of, if he's calling me to leave something, that means he's got something better for me on the other side. I may not know what it is, but I can trust him enough to know if he's calling me to lay something down, it's because he's got something better he wants me to experience. Now, we're not talking health and wealth and prosperity. We're just talking about the maturity in the kingdom. We're talking about eternal kingdom blessings, kingdom things, not, hey, if you do this, God's going to bless you with $1 million. Like, we're not talking that. We're talking in light of his kingdom. If you follow him in obedience and he calls you to lay something down, you can have faith that he's got something better for you. There's a reason behind it. When we give up our old lives to follow Jesus, we gain a new life that's better, far better than the one we're giving up. I know many people that's their biggest hang-up with following Jesus is I don't want to give up what I have because they fail to recognize that what they're gaining is far greater than what they have. We can always trust that whatever he is calling us to leave, that he's calling us to something better. Now, part of the reason God calls to Abram to leave his family, his father's house, all of that is so that he would not be tempted by his old life. He wouldn't have the temptation of the idol worship of his homeland. He wouldn't be tempted to find his identity anymore in his father's name, that he wouldn't be tempted to find his security in his family. Right, because God's desire was that Abram would worship him alone, that Abram would find his identity in God, that Abram would find his security in the Lord. And I hope you've noticed the correlation between Abram and our walk with Jesus, right? Because this is just a precursor of what's to come. This is laying the foundation. And so even with this calling, we have been called into a similar fashion to follow Jesus. He says, lay down your lives daily. Take up your cross daily. Walk faithfully in the newness of life I have given you daily. You know, Jesus says that he has called us out of our citizenship of this country. He said, if you will follow me, you are now a citizen of heaven. He's called us from worshiping whatever idols we were worshiping before we met him to worship him alone. He's declared when you receive him as Savior that you no longer belong to the world, but that you are his and he is yours. And so here's how I want to encourage you this morning, follower of Jesus, to be watchful, to be alert, to be proactive in making sure you're not sliding back into the things that Jesus rescued you from. To be proactive, to not give up something greater for something lesser. Right, I think about this. This is oftentimes what happens in the Christian walk. I don't know about you. I have a little brother, and I can remember at points in my life before he knew math very well to be like, hey, if you give me that 10, I'll give you these five ones. You have more, right? There's five of those ones, and there's only one of those $10 bills, right? That's kind of what we do when we walk with Jesus. We're like, we give up. It looks good. It looks greater, but it's like trading that 10 for that five ones, right? We're giving up something greater for something lesser. And sometimes we do that and don't even recognize it because we were not watchful, we were not alert, we were not proactive. We didn't remove ourselves from the temptations of whatever God rescued us from. Now to do that, we require some vulnerability, requires some intentionality, requires that you do some peopling. Right? If you're trying to live for Jesus by yourself, you're going to be way more prone to falling into the temptations God rescued you from than if you were doing some peopling. Right? Peopling, you are, listen, we can put out all the programs, all the things in the world. Not a person in this room can make you go to any of them. Somebody might be able to drag you here on a Sunday morning. They might be able to drag you to a small group once or twice. But ultimately, if you want to really grow in your faith, you want to be proactive in your faith, it takes intentionality. It takes you dying to self, not waiting for people to come to you, but you going to the people. Right, I've been doing this a long time now. I've had people consistently over the years saying, well, you know, nobody calls me. Man, nobody does this, nobody does that. I really need this. And I'm always tempted to say, well, that phone works both ways. Right, your car drives there just as good as it drives to you, right? And so I don't mean to sound harsh, but there has to be an intentionality if you really want to grow and mature in your faith. You can't be dependent upon everybody doing everything for you. You have to be proactive and intentional if you're going to grow in your faith. You can't isolate. You got to seek out relationships with other believers so they can encourage, correct, disciple, love, guide. None of that happens in isolation. Looking back at the text, verses 4-9. So God calls to Abram, says, hey, if you'll leave all this behind, I'll give you all of this. And the next phrase we get in chapter 12, verse 4, it says, Abram went. We don't get anything else. It just says, Abram went. Abram went in faith, trusting that the blessing of the Lord would make up for any of his perceived losses, that the blessing of the Lord would supply all of his needs, that it would exceed all of his desires. Abram went. And here's a reminder for us this morning. Faith is marked by action, not by words. You can claim to have faith all day long, but your faith is marked by your actions, not by your words. You're not saved by your actions, but your faith is marked by your actions. Abram showed his faith because he went. Hebrews chapter 11 says that Abram went not fully understanding the call, not fully understanding how God was going to fulfill all his promises that he had made. Abram went not even knowing yet where he was headed, but he went in faith, not fully understanding. And so here's what I want us to understand this morning, church. If you're a follower of Christ, even if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, know this, that faithful obedience does not require full understanding. Faithful obedience does not require full understanding. Like some of you maybe are not followers of Jesus and you're like, well, I need more proof. I need to understand this. I need to understand that. Understand you don't have to know everything there is to know about God because that is impossible. That there is enough out there as it is for you to choose Jesus. You don't have to have a full understanding to have faithful obedience. We don't have to have all the pegs and the light bright to walk in that faithful obedience. We just simply have to trust the one who's doing the calling. Like Abram, God has given us what we need to know. This right here is everything you need to know, right? If something's not in here, God says, hey, you don't need to know that right now, all right? You might find that out on the other side of eternity, you might not, but everything you need to know to follow in faithful obedience is right here. Now, if you never open this up, it's gonna be hard to follow in faithful obedience. God's taken out the light, bright paper. He's laid it out. He's filled in all the spots that we need to see in order to follow him. But Scripture also says God, the things of God are a mystery. Scripture says that God's ways are above our ways. That there are just things about God we're not going to understand, and we need to get over that, and we need to die to ourselves. We need to crucify our pride and be like, that's okay. I'm going to trust in him because he is who he says he is. There's just some stuff, as hard as this is for us to understand, to receive, that we're just not privy to. God says, you don't need to know that. How many of you as kids, or maybe kids right now, hate when your parents say, you don't need to know that, you just need to go do it, right? That's what God says to us. We don't like it any better, but at least when he says it, we know that it's for our good. Now, before you say, well, I just can't follow somebody or someone when I fully don't understand how it works, I want to first remind you that faith is trusting in that which is unseen. And you do that every single day without a blinking an eye, right? Some of you guys this morning, you flip that light switch in your house, not fully understanding how that electricity makes it from the side of the house to your light switch, or how it gets to your house to begin with, but you flipped it in full faith that your light was going to turn on. You got in a car this morning, you drove here in full blind faith that nobody was going to cross that line and run into you from 2 feet away. You pull out that phone in your pocket every single day, trusting it's going to do what you need it to do, with very few of us in this room actually understanding how it fully works. You are able to faithfully obey and follow things without fully understanding them. You do it every day. Right now, you've put a lot of faith in that chair you're sitting in, blindly. I can tell you, God is way more solid than that chair you're sitting in this morning. We can walk in faithful obedience, but we're having a full understanding, and that's what Abram did. Abram went, he obeyed the Lord in faith, and Moses says that Abram was 75 years old when he left. At 75, God calls Abram into a brand new venture in his life. At the time when most of us would be winding down, God calls to Abram, he says, hey, I got more for you to do, buddy. It's just getting started. Can I speak to our seasoned people in the room for the moment? I've been in ministry at some point for about 20 years now, and I've heard things like, I've done my time, now it's my time to rest. Can I say that? I don't see that in Scripture. It may be retired from your job, but I don't see where it says, hey, when you reach this age, you retire from gospel ministry, that you've done your time. There's nothing left for you to do. I've heard some of my beloved seasoned saints say, God can't use me at this age. And can I just tell you, that's a lie from the devil this morning, right? That there's nowhere in Scripture that says when you reach a certain age, God can't use you anymore. So I want to, if that's you this morning, if you've ever uttered those things, you've heard people say those things, can I just gently remind and encourage you this morning that if you're not dead, God is not done with you, right? If you're not dead, he can still use you, right? Scripture says the older men and women are to what? Train up, disciple the younger generations, right? How great would it be if for my seasoned, beloved saints to be pouring into some high schoolers, some middle schoolers, some young men and women walking in and as newlyweds? If you're not dead, God is not done with you. There is a younger generation that needs your wisdom, that you've been called to disciple. There is work he has for you to do still. There is growing in the Lord for you to do still. If there is breath in your lungs, you have not reached maximum maturity yet. There's still work for you to do. And so don't believe the lie that at a certain age, you are no longer qualified for gospel ministry, or that you get to retire from the ministry of the gospel. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you thought those thoughts, man, don't give in to those thoughts, but press in, lean in, finish strong. If you're not dead, God's not done with you. Verses 5-9. Abram takes his nephew Lot, his wife, his possessions, all he had, and they travel the 700 miles from Haran to Canaan, to a place they had never been, to a people that were totally different from them, to accomplish God's will. They pass through the ancient city of Shechem by the oaks of Moreh. We don't really know much about them other than they would eventually be some sacred cities later in Scripture. Might have been the sources of some idol worship of the Canaanites that were living in the land. But they get there, they get to this Shechem, and it says the Lord appears to Abram again. Again, we don't know if it was a vision, if it was the Lord himself, but he appears to Abram. And he says, hey, you see this land, Abram? This is the land that I told you I was going to give you. It's not fully yours right now, but this is the land. I've showed you. I've checked one of the promises off. I told you I would show you the land. I just showed you the land, all right? So out of the seven promises, we can check one off. And at that moment, Abram built an altar and he worshiped the Lord. From there, he traveled to the hill country between Bethel and Ai, and he pitched his tents there. Again, he built an altar and he worshiped the Lord. And then he continued further on into the land of Canaan. I want you to notice something, that Abram did not hesitate to worship his God. He was in this land of people that did not follow the God of the Bible. They worshiped all these weird idols and false gods. And Abram did not hesitate to declare his faith to the Lord in these foreign lands as he built altars and worshiped unashamedly. Everywhere he pitched his tent, he built an altar and he worshiped the Lord. He did not forget his God. He did not leave him at home. He did not leave him for Sundays or for the time when he's around his church friends. He worshiped unashamedly. And so, church, I want to encourage you this week, wherever you pitch your tent, wherever the Lord places your feet this week, do not forget your Jesus this week. Do not forget who you belong to. Do not forget who you're representing wherever God has you pitch your tent this week, right? Don't leave him at home. Don't save him for Sundays. Take him with you wherever you go this week, and you worship him unashamedly in how you speak, how you act, how you treat others. Take him wherever you pitch your tent this week. Now, as we kind of draw our time down a little bit, I want to point out two things this morning from our text. The first is this, that the lives of those who walk in faithful obedience to God are those marked with consistent communion with God. Right? You read about Abram. He was consistently communing with God. God would appear to him. He would talk with God. Communing with God is, we do that through reading the word and through prayer. Abram did a lot of that. And so we see this connection between his faithful obedience and his communion with the Father. God would appear to Abram several more times. Abram had a lot of intimate time with the Father as he walked out his faith. And so just understand, faithful obedience will always be found with consistent communion with the Father. You're not going to walk in faithful obedience if you're not having communion with the Father. If the only time you talk to the Lord is for an hour on Sunday, you're not going to be walking in faithful obedience. You need consistent communion with the Father to walk in faithful obedience. And understand, you were created for faithful obedience. You were created to be with God. You were created to walk with him every day, every second of every day, to be fully dependent upon him. So to live how God created you to live, you cannot do that without consistent communion with him. Here's the last thing I want us to grab hold of this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, talks about Abram and other heroes of the faith who never fully received the things God promised them this side of heaven. They died before they see the fulfillment of these promises, but yet they lived by faith. They never lost their vision of what God had promised. They kept their eyes on the prize. It was this hope of the things unseen that spurred them on in their faithful obedience. Abram had no idea how God was going to do what he said he was going to do, but he continued in faith, fueled by a future promise. You have your Bibles open, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. Because this is key to faithful obedience this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. Again, still talking about Abram, he says, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. That was the hope that was spurring on Abram as he walked in faith. When it said Abram went, that was the hope he was clinging to of an eternal, permanent, and secure home, not built by human hands, but built by the God of the universe. Christian, our hope lies in a promise yet to be fulfilled, a city, a kingdom not built by human hands. Our hope is an eternal one. We are no more than nomads and refugees on this place. Right? On this planet that spins every day, we are no more than nomads and refugees, so let us not get comfortable here. Let us not lose sight of what we've been promised. Let us keep our hearts and eyes focused on the hope of heaven. Because the moment we take our eyes off heaven, when we get discouraged, when we say, I can't do it, when we start being tempted by other things, it's the hope of what has not been fulfilled yet, what the promises yet to be seen that spurs us on in our faith. Don't let the enemy shift your focus. Don't let him get you discouraged or anxious or weary, but let the promise we have in Jesus renew your soul daily, the hope of things yet to come. Let that lead you to a deeper communion with the Father and propel you towards an obedient faith in him. So we can get so caught up in churchy things and Christian-y things that we forget that the thing that spurs us on is the promise we got when we received Christ, and that's the hope of heaven. That's the thing that drives everything, is that Jesus said, if you will follow me, I will give you everything. I will give you an eternal home where none of this other stuff exists. And if you'll just follow me faithfully on this little blip that you're here on this place, you will gain all of this. And that's the thing that should push us every single day to stay the course with the Lord, to walk in faithful obedience, is that hope of heaven. It's that hope of promises yet to be fulfilled that pushes Abram. So as we kind of wrestle with that this morning, I invite the worship team. They're going to lead us in a time of response this morning. This time is for you to respond to the word of God. It's not to check your watch to see how much time you have until you get to eat lunch. It's for you to wrestle with the word of God, to respond to however the Holy Spirit is stirring in you. Maybe you're finally at that point where I want to acknowledge and receive Jesus as Savior this morning. Maybe God has been, I remember for years, like every time we got to a response time, I would just like white knuckle the chair, knowing I was supposed to get baptized, but something in me said, no, I don't need to do that. Like, I probably went a whole year. I knew I'd accepted Christ, but for some reason I was pushing back against baptism. I would just white knuckle and say, please let this be over. Please let this be over. Please let this be over. And then the moment I said yes to baptism, it was like, man, this was like the most wonderful time of the service. I get to sit here and worship and respond. And it was like that first step of obedience. It was like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. I no longer dreaded this time of the service. I no longer checked my watch to see how long-winded the pastor was that day. The chairs were no longer crying for mercy because I was white-knuckling them, all right? And so this is a time for you to respond. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've been putting off baptism. Maybe you've been putting off something else the Lord has called you to do. Make today the day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, man, I come here each week, God, not with no idea of why you have called me to do this thing. There are so many other people that are far better at this, Lord, but I come here every week trusting that you are faithful, trusting that your promises are true, trusting that your word does not come back void. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that your word will just penetrate the hearts and minds of your people. God, for those that, man, they have not received Christ is their King, Lord, I pray today be the day of salvation, Lord. They would know the hope of heaven. For those that have taken our eyes off the hope of heaven, God, help us to be fixed on that today. Lord, I pray that we have a renewed joy, that you would just gladden our hearts this morning about the hope of heaven, that we would just worship you freely because of the hope that we have in you, that we would recognize that hope is so much greater than any trouble, any burden, anything that we're going to experience in this world, that hope of heaven exceeds all of that. And may we never trade it for anything else. Lord, we just ask your spirit to move in this place. Lord, help us to have the courage to respond. Lord, we love you and we praise you and just praise things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you, if you're able, to go ahead and stand with us as we worship. We're going to have some of our deacons and their wives in the back. If you want to pray with somebody, we'll be up front if you want to pray with one of us. But you use this time to worship and respond however God is leading you this morning.
Please be seated for some closing announcements. You probably saw me hesitate this time. Are you really done? All right. I have 5 quick announcements to speed run. So before I turn it over to our 3 Chords ministry leaders for an announcement. The first two, Pastor, you totally reminded me of these stories. You know, I used to teach satellite communications, and you'd always get that one person asking 1,000 questions, and you'd be like, man, it's ones and zeros. Just press the I believe button, you know. That's pretty much it. So anyway, and then the other one, there was a pastor that always shared. He said, you know, if you're busy serving, you don't have time for sinning. And I always liked that. So it also kind of reminded me of Morgan Freeman, get busy living or get busy dying, which is also true because if you aren't living for Christ, you are dying because for the wages of sin are death, right? Last three. The men, we mentioned the women getting together next weekend for the tea party, but the men meet here on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., led by Chase McKeithen. So that's another small group if you're interested in getting together during the week. Happens here. If you have questions, you can get with me, and I'll get you connected to Chase. Two more. Replicate on the go. That we have a trailer. There's some yard tools and items like that. It's kind of held by Mr. Tim, if Tim's here today. But either way, we can get you linked in with that crew if you're interested. But I also ask if you know anyone in need that may need some yard work, some cleanup, please see Pastor Jared, and we'll see what we can do to help those people out. Because there's a lot of folks that you know, for various reasons that you know you just can't maintain, and eventually fall behind, and it becomes a daunting task, and there's just kind of feels hopeless, and that's where we would like to come in and be able to help serve and in that aspect. The last one was Foundry Youth. If you are new here and you have children, or if you've been here and you want to get them plugged in with the teens, they have the Foundry Youth. I don't know exactly who the one leader is, but I know we've got Brooke. Mike is the man. Brooke's pointing at Mike. We have Jared Smith in the back with the green, but Mike is the primary. So they have a summer retreat coming up, and if you're interested in that, which it looks amazing, same place the women went, right? Man, they were out at a natural spring. There was archery, there was kayaking, all kinds of things to do. Naturally, they're going to receive the word. There's going to be programs for them to learn and grow with Christ and with each other. But there's amazing activities out there, and I wish I was a teenager and my parents were sending me. But if you have questions, see Mike. With that, I would like to invite the A-Bears and the Gross Jeans up. They have an announcement about Three Chords Marriage Ministry.
All right, good morning, guys. We're into year three of Three Chords Marriage Ministry. There's a lot of new faces in this church, so we just kind of want to tell you what that is. So the marriage ministry for this church is not an event-based ministry. It is a discipleship-based ministry. That means that marriage is hard, and the world tells us it looks one way, and the world is a lie. We're trying to live out what the Bible says marriage looks like. For most of us, we didn't grow up with that. We have no clue. So we come together once a month at our house, and we have the Gross Jeans that help with that too. And we talk about biblical marriage. We share some information, and then it's just a lot of questions and talking with each other, and how does it look to live that out, to live out what God says it's supposed to look like. So our next one is this coming Saturday. It's from 6 to 8 at our house. We are going through The Art of Marriage right now, and we're at session 3. If you miss the first two, it doesn't make a difference. We can send you the videos. We have the handouts. It doesn't cost you anything to come. No kids, obviously. You have to either be married or you have to be in a committed relationship, engaged or with the intention of being married. High school kids, sorry, that's not a serious relationship. Love you, but it's not. You're not invited. You at least need to be in college to come. What would you guys like to add?
It's where like-minded couples can get together and share some of our struggles and also share some of how we've and other couples have handled those same type of struggles. Because we do share the same type of struggles. Thank you.
All right, so we hope you can make it next Saturday. We've already looked at the videos and stuff, and either wear your steel-toe boots or just be prepared for the Lord to step on your toes, because I watched it twice, and it was very painful the first time and just as painful the second time. So just come expecting God not to change your spouse, but to change you, because that's what it's about. So if you need more information, we'll be in the back.
Thank you. Sounds like I'll be leaving on crutches. All right. Hey, we're really thankful that you're able to be here with us today. I invite you to look at replicatechurch.org for more information. And that concludes service. God bless you, and may his face shine upon you.